Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It's a good week here at Faith and Family Worldwide KFUO. We've got a great conversation. Did you know it's National Volunteer Month? We're going to talk about that and a great opportunity to serve as a volunteer this month with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services and Senior Connections. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Stick around for the conversation. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for that sponsor section. There you'll find the CUW logo, Concordia University Wisconsin. Click on that, and that'll take you to their page. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for the Concordia University Wisconsin information. It's a great institution, and not just in Wisconsin. They're all over the place, so go check it out. Well, we will open the listener lines during the second half of the program today. So the first half, we're going to give our guests a chance to tell their story, and then we'll announce the listener lines for the second half coming up around 11:30 this morning, so that if you have questions, you can give us a call during that second segment. But the first half, we'll give them a chance to tell their story. So stick around for the conversation, and then think about your questions and share those later on in the second half of the show. Well, joining me in studio, we have quite the crew today. Lots of friends from Senior Connections. And we're going to talk about what Senior Connections is here in just a little bit. Our first guest in studio today, we have Pam Gordon. She's Director of Volunteer Services with Lutheran Senior Services. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for having us during National Volunteer Week.
Oh, it's Volunteer Week. I was making a whole month out of
it. Well, we do celebrate the whole month, so it's okay.
I was just making it a whole month, man. Also joining us in studio today, Pam Gordon. She is, Jill All. We already introduced Pam. Jill All, volunteer with Senior Connections for 7 years now. Yes. Jill, thanks for being our guest this morning.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
And also joining us in studio today, Alan Surface. He's been a volunteer with relational volunteer for 2 years with Senior Connections. Alan, thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thanks so much.
So let's talk about what is Senior Connections. Pam, what is Senior Connections? How did it get started? And what's the background, and how is it a part of Lutheran Senior Services?
Okay. Senior Connections was started 15 years ago by the Singer Institute and Dr. Suzanne Singer. It is our effort to bring volunteers who would like to be companions to older adults who might live in long-term assisted living or senior apartment communities together for companionship. We know that there are 7,000 older adults in long-term care in the St. Louis community, and many have very few visitors throughout the week. So what we do is connect volunteers who have a heart for serving and visiting with older adults who might need some companionship or appreciate mm-hmm. those visits.
Being in a community, whether you're living in a senior community or living independently, just in a neighborhood or apartment complex, things like that, isolation, it becomes common as we become older. It's likely that we might feel isolated just as we start to lose things. We may lose our own housing arrangements, maybe moving in into a community or things like that. We feel like we're losing things, and so we become isolated. How often does that happen with seniors? Is it pretty frequent?
It is pretty frequent. Even though their accommodations are lovely, they're still giving up some independence. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've given up the home that they raised their children in. Their community around them, their neighbors, their friends, they still have those connections. But when they move into a long-term care or assisted living or senior apartment community, their environment is different. Many of our older adults that we serve have outlived family and friends. That can be a positive, but it can also be something that leads to isolation.
And now, Pam, how long have you been with Lutheran Senior Services, and what do you do as volunteer, a director of volunteers?
I've been with Lutheran Senior Services for 3 years now, and as the director of volunteers, I'm responsible for kind of having the bird's eye view of the volunteer needs within the organization. And so I will look at our various communities and programs and identify needs that they have where mm-hmm. volunteers can help assist and complement what we're doing as employees. And then I will look for those volunteers who have a heart to serve.
And how important are volunteers at Lutheran Senior Services and certainly at Senior Connections?
Very important, because the volunteers bring something special to our residents and our patients, our clients. They can bring another listening ear, a friendly face, someone who mm-hmm. can dedicate some undivided attention to them throughout the day.
So Senior Connections has been around for, as you said, about 15 years, became a part of Lutheran Senior Services not too long ago.
Correct. Lutheran Senior Services became the host of Senior Connections in January. We worked for almost a year with the Singer Institute to make that transition a reality. And so in January, our volunteer coordinator, Sandy Rader Singer, joined us. And together we've been reconnecting with old friends through the program and helping to build more recruitment or more of our volunteer team. We have about 80 plus volunteers who are serving older adults in the community at this time.
I want to get to our volunteers who have been serving with Senior Connections for a while now. What led you to, how did you get connected with Senior Connections? How did you get involved? We'll start with Jill. How did you get connected?
Sure. Well, actually, I found out about the existence of Senior Connections when Sandy came out to the Ethical Society Mid-Rivers and led a workshop about it. And it really fascinated me and interested me because at the time I was a kindergarten teacher. So I thought it might be really kind of fun to spend an hour a week with somebody at the other end of the age spectrum. And so I began volunteering about 7 years ago on Saturdays. The commitment is for 1 year, an hour a week for a year. And I began to do that on Saturday mornings because I thought that it would be really fun to bring some cheer and good company to a nursing home resident who didn't have any other visitors. But what happened throughout the year and a half or so that my friend there lived is that I started getting so much more out of it than I gave. And I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of similarities between working with very young children and very old citizens. But I found that I was able to just bring a lot of joy and fun and laughter into her life, and I reap those benefits exponentially back from her. And still, I'm currently visiting with my third friend through the organization, and when I leave after that hour, I feel so rejuvenated and very young and very optimistic and excited. So it really is true that when you serve others, you're the one who benefits much, much more.
We hear that frequently here in conversations when we talk about volunteering and serving others in a variety of ways. Quite often we find that we go to serve and help others, but we end up just finding joy in it and being blessed by those we serve. Ellen, let's talk about how did you get involved with Senior Connections?
I learned of Senior Connections through an article. I literally just by chance was reading an article, and it just the headline kind of touched me as it was referenced earlier. You know, I think the number is like 13,000 seniors in the St. Louis area, and over 7,000, so more than half of them receive no outside visitors on an annual basis. And through my own journey, through my wife's journey with my mother-in-law, we witnessed what it's like to go into a nursing home. You know, my mother-in-law had visitors every single day. But part of that, part of going to the home was you'd visit so many other residents that were just thirsty, hungry for love and affection. And my father-in-law said something to me that has stuck with me, you know, ever since. He said old people, and, you know, when my father-in-law said that, he was 84, he's still with us today. But he said old people are like flowers. They just need a little sunshine, and you can be the sunshine in their lives. If you just, you come up to someone and they're kind of wilted in their chair and just, you know, if you just spend a little time with them, they will start to just raise up and become a full bloom. And just the conversations you can have, if you just take the time to listen and hold their hand, it's just, it's amazing.
Why is it important for seniors to have a connection outside of their regular daily routine, outside of their own immediate neighbors? Why is it important to have a connection with someone who maybe they don't see every day? You all visit at least an hour each week, it sounds like. Why is it important to have that connection with somebody other than just maybe the staff that they see every day?
I think it's especially important because most of the older adults who are living in long-term care, assisted living, or senior apartment communities, they, like us, they don't see themselves at the age they are, the circumstances they are, and they know they have a lot to share and a lot to give somebody. And so I think to have that outside interaction, they get to reclaim some of their life that they had before. They get to be on a level playing field with their visitor. They get to share their life experiences, and they get to feel, you know, worthy and important to somebody.
Do you see that? Do you see that the friends that you've visited with, Jill, that because you're not part of the daily staff or someone who's there every day, but someone who has taken interest in them?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, the people who work there are busy, they're stressed, and very often they're focused on the task at hand. Whereas when I go in there and sit for an hour with one particular person, we're just relating, we're just friends, and, you know, we're just
having a conversation.
Just having a conversation, absolutely, and everything else can just disappear, and you become their ally. You know, in the case of the person that I'm visiting currently, she's a glass half empty kind of person, kind of a negative person, and kind of grumpy. So she loves it when I show up. She just, as Alan said, she just blooms. She just perks right up because she kind of has this feeling that the people who work in the facility are the enemy. They're out to get her. She doesn't particularly care for them. And, you know, they adore her, but sometimes she just doesn't see that. So, you know, who among us doesn't love having some attention?
Sure.
So,
And as you said, while the staff may certainly adore her, just life circumstances, it shapes our perception. And certainly as we age, our perception might change, and we might think that the rest of the world is out to get us, or even just those who we see on a daily basis are not necessarily, we might not think of them as our friends. And so having this connection with someone outside, in a sense, if you will, can be, as Ellen said, that sunshine, that lifting up. Ellen, what your thoughts on, you know, being someone who kind of comes from the outside and befriending them?
Again, I think it's a blessing because, you know, the individual that I visit with, she sees every day that, you know, other people have their family and friends come in and visit. Is it envious? Is it, I mean, when I come in, I mean, it's kind of like show and tell to some extent. She wants to, meet my friend. And it just.
So she parades you around and shows you off to everybody.
Well, and we do a lot of things. And I just want to make a comment. The staff does such a wonderful job, regardless of what, you know, care community you're in. The staff can do such a wonderful job. But, you know, as Jill mentioned, having the time to sit down and go deep with an individual, it's wonderful. And the staff would if they could, but, you know, in many cases they're taking care of 10 or 12 people that all have needs. So that hour is just, it's incredible. And I just see that she just comes alive. She comes into her own space. We do a lot with, I bring my iPad. And so we listen to a lot of music. We share stories about her childhood. And what's neat to me is I get to see her close her eyes and sing. She sings like a frog, but she knows all the lyrics to, you know, I've learned to appreciate Nelson Eddy.
Oh my gosh.
And Jeanette McDonald. And, you know, we sing Sweet Mystery of Life and just let it, you know, just flow all throughout the community. And some people look at me like, turn that down.
It's so funny that you mentioned that particular duo, because that was my original friend's favorite, and the Indian Love Call was her favorite, and we would sing that. And I brought an old record player into her room because she had the disc.
Yeah,
and it's just so funny. I still have it, and it's a treasure.
Well, we watched Naughty Marietta, and when she said her favorite movie was Naughty Marietta, I think that's the name of it. I bought it on Amazon, brought it in, we watched it one day. I said, but I did say now, I want to make sure that this is appropriate with the title. I'm a little concerned. And, but again, just to take a little extra time to spend, it's wonderful. Yeah.
What have been the surprises for you along the way? What in the friends that you've made through Senior Connections, what have been the surprises, Jill?
Well, the first friend that I connected with lived for about a year and a half, and she had absolutely no visitors. She had one daughter who lived in Texas, and her daughter and I became good friends, and we are still in touch today. So that was a really wonderful, unexpected benefit. And I kind of became like a surrogate daughter to her. My own mom passed away about 17 years ago, and it was really special for me to be able to connect with an elderly woman who needed a surrogate daughter as much as I needed a surrogate mother. So towards the end of her life, I really became more and more important in that role. I helped her daughter with some funeral planning and some of, you know, because I was physically here and she was in another state and was really involved in that. And it was really incredible because the very last word that my friend spoke before she passed away was the word wonderful. I was at her bedside. Her daughter was literally on the road rushing to the St. Louis area because we knew that she was, you know, her death was imminent, and I was holding her hand. Her eyes were closed, and I was talking to her and telling her how much I loved her and how enriching our friendship was and how much it meant to me. And she squeezed my hand and opened her eyes and said the word wonderful and then closed her eyes, and that was the last word she ever uttered. So it was just an amazingly powerful experience for me, and I think about her, and I still visit her grave. And I'm still in touch with her daughter, and that's been several years since that all happened. So it wasn't anything that I expected when I thought, sure, I'll sign up for an hour a week on Saturdays. You know, it just turned into much, much more.
So the relationship that grew out of it has certainly been far exceeded what you thought you would experience.
Absolutely.
And I can imagine that in today's culture and society, with the mobility of jobs and how careers take us all over the globe and people having careers, that children and families, parents are separated from children, older parents are separated from children. And so we find probably quite a few scenarios like Jill was describing here where the only, you know, children that they have live in other states, live far away. So not having any family nearby, having someone like this to talk with, to connect with, and to serve in a sense as a surrogate family, it really does make a difference. Ellen, what have been the surprises for you in your volunteering with Senior Connections?
I'm going to kind of chime in a little bit with what Jill mentioned as far as just how much I get out of this. My experience has been so positive, and I feel wonderful. My day's Friday, and it's the best part of my week, is just knowing that I get to touch, you know, my friend's life and many people around her. So it's not just the one person, even though my time is dedicated towards that one individual, I touch a lot of people on the way in, down the hall, through the corridor. I can touch a lot of people, and I'm a big fan of a little goes a long way. But my surprise about Senior Connections as I got involved was how limited the volunteer base is, because it is so wonderful. It's such a wonderful program, and it gives so much to the community. But the fact is that we have 80 relational volunteers and the need is so great. So again, I'm just an advocate for anybody out there that says I have an hour a week. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful way to spend it.
And we're going to talk about how we can change that in just a few minutes when we come back from the break. Before we go to break though, I want to talk about, you both have touched on this a little bit. What joy do you, obviously you both have received a lot of joy out of this. And Ellen, you talked about, you know, just bringing a little bit of sunlight for someone. What joy do you think you bring to the friends that you've had, Jill?
Well, that brings to mind an event that, two of my closest friends and I put together for my original friend, through Senior Connections. We created a tea party and we checked it out ahead of time and got permission and found a little room, and we set it up. I set up a table with little china teacups and pastries, and we brought funny hats for all of us to wear and just created this afternoon tea party one summer afternoon, and it was really special. We took pictures. Another time when my friend had her birthday, I think it was her 93rd birthday, I took the day off of work and brought her flowers and balloons and a little cake and spent the whole day with her and took, you know, we had our picture taken together, and it was just really special. So whether it's an upcoming holiday or a seasonal event, I do everything I can to bring either a little token gift or just something special, you know, just to just to perk up their day. The friend that I visit now told me that she just loves it when I come. The volunteer director at the facility where I visit told me that she talks about me throughout the week and she remembers my name and looks forward to my visits. So, you know, it's just amazing how creative you can become with very little planning, preparation, you know, very little money, if any at all, that you can just conjure up all kinds of little ways to cheer somebody up.
As Ellen said, a little goes a long way. Pam, with your involvement with Senior Connections, what have been the joys that you've seen? What have been the surprises along the way?
Well, Alan mentioned that we have 80 volunteers dedicated to this cause. And most recently, we were able to invite those volunteers to Lutheran Senior Services for a meet and greet. And that was their opportunity to get to know our organization as the newest host. And what really moved me and stirred me was that those who are visiting the older adults, they are getting so much joy. And they're taking the challenges and the successes of all of it and making lemonade out of that. And they're there to support one another. The volunteers have an opportunity on a quarterly basis to get together in a support group setting. So they have a special speaker come in and talk with them about an issue or a maybe an illness that they're all encountering with their friend. And then they have a time to share and just really open the room in a confidential setting to share the things that are really tugging at their heart. They get to share their joys and concerns and support one another because they are working fairly independently with their older adult. And so it's good that they have that opportunity. But just the joy and the even sharing the concerns, you can see that they're so passionate about it.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned, Ellen mentioned that there is a big need, that there are all so many so many opportunities here and only 80 volunteers right now. Is that correct?
Correct. And we have 43 facilities or senior living communities that we partner with at this time. And each of those communities are always identifying older adults who could benefit from companionship. And it doesn't have to be the person who doesn't get visitors. It could be that person who does have visitors, but you know, it can make for a very long day if you are waiting for your family twice a week. So you really crave that interaction with others. So we're working with 43 communities right now, and we always have capacity for more partners in that. And so you can see that at any given time, folks are taking a break from seeing an older adult. If they've experienced a loss, they want some time off to grieve. So we do have the capacity to welcome more volunteers and to take more referrals from these communities.
We need to take a break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about how one can get, you know, how we can get involved with Senior Connections, what it takes to become a volunteer, and what how volunteers get matched up with the seniors and that type of thing. So we'll take a break here in a little bit. I want to invite our listeners to join the conversation too. If you have questions today, you can join us. 314-821-0850 is the number here in St. Louis. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us family@kfuo.org. We'll be glad to take some questions when we get back in the second half of the program. So we'll start that here in just a little bit. Again, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or family@kfuo.org. Stick around for more Faith and Family. We'll be back as we're talking with our friends from Senior Connections and Lutheran Senior Services right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Facebook is a great way to keep up with programming and get a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the broadcast day of KFUO Radio. This is where you'll find the inside scoop on programming and show links, photos, videos, and get details of upcoming events. And it's the place where you can connect with us and other listeners. And it's just so easy. Go to Facebook on your computer or smart device, put KFUO into the search box, select our page, and like us today. And oh yes, it's totally free. So what are you waiting for?
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
For years, I've worked to educate people about the emotional pain fathers of aborted babies can also experience. I counsel these grieving dads, and in every case, had to deal with the most common symptom of anger. And they usually act out in a way detrimental to them or those around them. Often they aren't even aware of what's behind the anger because society tells them it's her body and her issue. I've often speculated the vast majority of men in prisons have an abortion in their past. Recently, 100 inmates at Martin Correctional Institution in Florida were asked if they had played a role in abortion, and 90% said yes. Abortion is a cancer on society, and we're paying a much larger price for abortion than most people realize. Please, help me tell them.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
What should Christians believe about the creation of the world? Is the Bible true when it comes to Genesis chapter 1, or is it a legend? We'll find out Monday on Issues Etc. from Dr. Joel Heck of Concordia University, Texas. We'll also discuss the Passion of Christ from Matthew's Gospel with Pastor Tom Baker.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
This is a world of possibilities. A world in which people who put their minds to something can really make a difference.
My goal is to help the environment.
Someday I'll find a cure for cancer.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we believe that aspiring minds can achieve anything. So we dedicate ourselves to making sure everyone has an opportunity to go to college. Each year, we provide more than $150 billion in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
The Roman Catholic Archbishop of Atlanta says he's decided to sell his $2.2 million residence following a storm of criticism from parishioners. Local Catholics had faulted Archbishop Wilton Gregory for the opulent spending, citing the example of austerity set by Pope Francis. Gregory apologized last week for building the mansion and met Saturday with clergy and lay people from the archdiocese.
I want to thank those parishioners whose prayers, counsel, and concern brought this issue to light and ensured that their archbishop was properly attuned to the important symbolism of simple actions and the challenges faced by many of the faithful in the Archdiocese of Atlanta.
Gregory moved into the residence in January after selling his old home to Atlanta's Christ the King Cathedral for $1.9 million. The Archbishop said he'll vacate the new residence early next month. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services and Senior Connections. We're talking with Pam Gordon. She's Director of Volunteers for Lutheran Senior Services. And also two volunteers. We're talking with Alan Surface and Jill All, who've been volunteering with Senior Connections and making a lot of friends too, which is just great. We've heard a few of the stories from our volunteers with Senior Connections today. And if you're interested in finding out more about becoming a volunteer and serving with Senior Connections, we've got more information for you today. If you have questions for the conversation, to join the conversation, you can do that today. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us family@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take your questions as we continue our conversation. Now, Pam, if someone wants to find out more about becoming a volunteer, I'm sure they might just have tons of questions. Let's see if we can answer some of those questions this morning. Now, we already mentioned that there are plenty of opportunities there all over the St. Louis area. There were, 43 different
communities. Mm-hmm.
There's bound to be a community in your neighborhood where you could serve, something that's close to home or close to work. There's most likely bound to be a community close to you.
Right.
How... How does one go about becoming a volunteer? Obviously, they probably have to apply at some point in time, right?
They do. But really, the conversation starts with Sandy, our volunteer coordinator. And she's actually not with us today because we're very optimistic that a lot of people will be compelled to give her a call at 314-496-2526. And because this is about relationship building, Sandy likes to have that conversation on the phone first. Mm-hmm. And then to see if it's a good fit or it's something that someone is drawn to. So by calling Sandy, you can learn more about the program. And as Jill mentioned, it is a commitment of 1 hour a week for up to a year to be a friendly visitor. You can imagine that consistency is very important. So that's why we ask for that year-long commitment. And Sandy would explain about our orientation and our training. We do prepare our volunteers for this experience. I kid around and say our volunteers are getting more training than most families get to interact with their older adult in their life. So we do have a training. Our first one is April 26th from 8:30 to 3. We provide insight into the life of an older adult who lives in long-term care, assisted living, or a senior apartment community, mm-hmm. and really help to prepare that volunteer for their experience. The next step would be... if both Sandy and the prospective volunteer want to continue the conversation, they would fill out a volunteer application to tell us more about them. We would want to match a prospective volunteer with an older adult that has shared interests. And again, geography is very important, mm-hmm. but we also want to match people with someone that might share interests with them or background. And then we do invite people to complete the application. And we also do a background check on all of our volunteers because we feel like it's very important sure. that we're creating a safe environment, a trusted relationship between a volunteer and an older adult. And then we would proceed to the orientation and then the training. This can happen fairly quickly most of the time. And then we lean on our communities to identify that older adult. They're really providing us with the names and the needs that mm-hmm. come from those communities.
With training being a key part of this, what are some of the things that you learned through the training? What are some of the things that Alan and Jill, that in training or through your experience as volunteers, what have you learned that was helpful to you as a volunteer?
Well, one thing that comes to mind right away is to meet the resident where they are. I volunteer in the memory unit at the facility where I visit, and mm-hmm. sometimes my friend is in a different world. So I just go there with her mm-hmm. and instead of trying to tell her the way things really are, according to my perceptions. So there's a lot of training and just things that you may not have thought about if you haven't spent much time working with older adults.
Mm-hmm. So in someone who has a memory loss or as you said, might perceive things differently, we don't necessarily have to say this is how it really is. We can just have a conversation with them with what is important to them at that time.
Exactly. It's all about them. Mm-hmm. So we just go into their world and do whatever good we can there.
Mm-hmm. Alan, along the way, what have you learned, whether it be through the training or through your experience visiting with your friends at Senior Connections?
Yeah, the training, when I went through it, it was over 2 days. So that has since been consolidated. So the training gave me comfort and basically the confidence mm-hmm. not to have concerns to go into a community. So I felt very good about the overall training. It was very thorough. But as Jill mentioned, I mean, it's about you're there for that person. You're there and everything that you do is, I can't even tell you just how wonderful it is to take a resident outside to sit in the sun. Mm-hmm. And it may have been a year, two or three since someone has actually been outside sitting in the sun. So sometimes it's the smallest thing and it's just asking questions and getting to know your person that can make such a big impact. I think that's what I've learned is you really don't have to go in with any preconceived agenda. Just walk in with your world experience and a little patience and mm-hmm. a smile and you're all set.
It sounds to me, you were talking about just, you know, taking a resident, a friend, just to sit outside, thinking about how busy our lives can be at times and how hectic they can be. Sounds like this might be a good opportunity just to slow down and sit down and have a a normal paced conversation, not a rushed conversation about going from here to there and who's going to be at soccer practice and who's going to pick up at soccer practice and those types of things.
Jill mentioned it earlier. It is an opportunity to really count your blessings and everything that we all think about in our lives that, oh my goodness, I have this and that and all the stress. You know, when you leave after visiting with your friend, it's all of the world's problems are just washed away because they really are trivial.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great experience.
Pam, with the training, what types of things do you learn in the training? What does the training entail?
Some of the topics that are covered in training is communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems pretty straightforward, but there are, as Jill mentioned, there's some strategies for communicating with older adults. Being an active listener is an important thing. We do get caught up in our world and our mm-hmm. transactional conversations, and it's different for older adults. So it's about communication. You also learn about some of the diseases that our older adults are dealing with, Alzheimer's, stroke, things that may be impacting their lives now, as well as depression or grief. And grief not so much for losing loved ones, but just the grief of losing parts of their life or their independence.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a chance to talk with volunteers like Jill and Alan to kind of hear their story, to ask the candid questions. What am I getting into? And what should I expect? And every volunteer around the room will have a little different experience, but it really boils down to we have some very consistent and very loving volunteers. And so they're there to share that experience and encourage others to be part of the experience.
What are the questions that new volunteers have? Or what were the questions that you as volunteers had when you went into this that have since been answered?
Well, you know, I sometimes that hour really went slowly at the beginning because I didn't know what to talk about and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But Alan mentioned taking his iPad. I've done the same thing. I remember when Sully Sullenberger landed the plane on the Hudson, there was that iconic photo of all the people standing on the airplane wing in the river. And I remember taking that picture to my friend, and she was just fascinated. I was also friends with her during a presidential election, so we talked a little bit about politics, and it was just, you know, it's just the time eventually flew as mm-hmm. it does now, but that was one of my concerns was just, you know, I lived and I still do a very fast-paced life. I've retired since, but at the time I was a kindergarten teacher with a couple of kids of my own at home, and just a very, very busy, full, fast-paced life. So to go there for a whole hour,
mm-hmm.
and it was so quiet and so still, and I wasn't just thought, what in the world am I going to do for the next 57 minutes? It's only been 3 minutes, you know. But so you do kind of learn how to pace yourself and what kind of things are interesting to a person in their 90s, perhaps, and what kind, you know, what mm-hmm. what to talk about.
Alan, how about you? What were some of the questions you had before you started or right when you started as a volunteer?
I really think it's a compliment to the program, but I didn't have many questions because it was extremely thorough. Everything was very laid out for me, and so it was just natural. It was just extremely natural. So I didn't have a lot of questions other than, you know, I guess the one question I had is if my friend needed something, how to interact with the staff, you know, and make sure that they knew there I was as an advocate, mm-hmm. as a friend, not as somebody who's spying on anyone or anything else like that. But maybe those were some of the questions I had, is just how do I interact with the staff,
sure.
and really be seen as a positive versus somebody who's coming in causing.
How have you been received by the staff as volunteers? Do they view you as, in the places where you serve as a volunteer, do they view you as an advocate?
Yeah, I think that we're both really highly appreciated. I know that the activities director where I go has told me time and again, and, you know, I do what I can to make my resident happy, but there have been a lot of little times when I've been able to help them out too as well, just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up a few little things for her that she may need, or, you know, just changing the water in her flower vase and things that they may not have time for. But they're always friendly and smiling and happy to see me as well.
I'd like to add, Jill had mentioned how to fill an hour. And sometimes you might get feedback from the employees that are referring the older adult that the goal for them is to get that older adult out of their room and interacting with their friends and neighbors in the community. Because truly, after your hour during the week, they still need to find a way to get to know people. And so a strategy that our volunteer, who might not have been a kindergarten teacher and know how to entertain folks for an hour, what they might do is pick up the calendar for the activities for the community and then deliberately stop in when they feel that there's an activity that their friend might enjoy and encourage them, because sometimes their friend will go to the activity if they have someone to go with versus doing it alone, or they might need some encouragement because maybe it's, you know, a little more easy, a little easier, a little more comfortable sitting in my room where it's comfy versus getting out and interacting with folks. So
that little extra motivation to get out and go interact with others. Right. Certainly. That's a great idea to get involved with the activities there in the community. Another question, who might be a good candidate to serve as a volunteer with Senior Connections? Are there certain requirements, age requirement and other things that would make one a good candidate?
I think anybody who can be present with another person, who can slow down their lives for an hour, could be a wonderful volunteer. We're not expecting our volunteer to come with skills in teaching a kindergarten class or prior experience as a caregiver. It's really being present, being able to be present with someone. And as far as age requirements go, we are open to welcoming families. Youth can volunteer. Sometimes we may have to ask for a parent chaperone, but that really just enriches the experience for the older adult and the volunteer.
Sure. Well, this could be a great opportunity for a youth to gain some experience. It might be considered community service for a high school requirement or something like that. But at the same time, the relationship that could grow out of it and what they would gain from it would far surpass what the credit they would gain as a community service requirement for high school.
Certainly. And the key here is that we do ask for a year-long commitment. So we know that once they get their service hours completed for school, we want to expect that they would continue with that older adult, because they do rely on that relationship and those visits.
And that's important. And I think, as our volunteers here today have demonstrated, just a few visits and you're probably hooked. Yeah. It seems like.
Definitely.
That just a few visits and you're starting to build that relationship. Yeah, there might be those questions at the beginning. How do I, in a whole hour, how do I spend a whole hour? What am I going to do? But once you, as you've demonstrated today, once you get past that and learn that there's plenty to talk about, it might just take bringing in some outside things, as Jill pointed out, bringing in a picture of what's going on in current events. That could spark just great conversations. Bringing in, if the person you're visiting has a background in a subject that you're not doing so well in school, bringing in your homework, right?
Well, I've found sometimes we have the same conversation from week to week because my resident is in the memory unit and she doesn't remember what we've talked about in the past. So we often just have the same conversation over and over again. She enjoys it each time and it doesn't bother me to repeat it.
So. Nothing wrong with that. Then you're well prepared for the conversation.
Exactly.
We also have volunteers who have received permission from the community that they serve to bring their small pets with them. They find that the resident really responds to a friendly pet visit. Not required of our volunteers. There's just a handful of volunteers who do that. But with some documentation and some prior authorization, that could be a way that the volunteer can interact with the older adult.
We're talking with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services and Senior Connections today. We're talking with Pam Gordon, Director of Volunteers for Lutheran Senior Services, and volunteers Jill All and Alan Surface. If you have questions today for our guests, you can give us a call. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us family@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we continue our conversation. For our volunteers, what difference has this made in your life? You've talked about the joys. How is life different for you now that you serve as a volunteer as opposed to your life before you served as a volunteer for Senior Connections?
Well, I have a greater appreciation for people who are aging. And in my particular case, my father is still living. He's 86 years old, but he lives in Florida, so I don't get to see him in person very often. So I feel like at least by giving back in this way, I'm contributing, you know, since I'm unable to mm-hmm. visit with him the way I can with somebody who lives locally. So, you know, it's easy when you're younger and you're busy to just pass by older people and not mm-hmm. give them much of a thought. And, you know, if it's someone who doesn't speak much or speaks softly or slowly, we can become impatient with them and not really feel like what they have to talk about is very important, because we have a text message to reply to or an emails to read or places to be in, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is really gives you an opportunity, because with each passing day, we're all getting older. And eventually, you know, if we're lucky, we'll be there someday. So it really, for me, has been an eye-opening experience. So much of my life has been focused on people closer to the beginning of the life cycle. So it's been a neat opportunity to really pay attention and give honor and respect to people that are at the other end of the life cycle.
Certainly. Alan, how has your life changed since you became a volunteer with Senior Connections?
I would say that so much of it has been just, and I don't want to build too much on what Jill said, but it's taking the time to slow down, appreciate what life has to offer. And I think through some way, this is training for when I go through this same process with my own parents. It's been very helpful, because when I started this program, I was in my early 40s. And it's something I was never exposed to. So it's been a great experience, and also gives me an opportunity. A lot of the time that we spend together is, you know, the friend that I visit, her daughter lives in California, and she's able to make it in once or twice a year. So it might be writing a birthday card, something that my friend wouldn't do on her own. But if we have an hour to sit down and write out a card and talk about what would you like to say, selfishly, I think, what would it be like if my mom sent me a card like that? And just, you know, last two Christmases ago, we talked about what her daughter would like for Christmas, and we went out and bought her an angel for the top of her tree, because that really touched her daughter. So I think it's important for the family to know mm-hmm. that mom and dad, you know, they're thinking about their children, mm-hmm. and you can make an impact whether you're physically there or not. And for me, it's just gave me so many insights into the needs of this generation.
Well, it certainly can be a life-changing experience, both for the volunteer and for the senior who's got a new friend. Pam, can you tell us, how do volunteers get matched with the senior?
Okay. We rely on our partner facilities, our communities, mm-hmm. to always be thinking about residents who need some extra attention or could benefit from companionship. And when we have a volunteer that we've identified from a certain geographic area, whether they choose to serve somebody close to their home or their work, we call that community up and we give them a profile of the volunteer. And we ask them to really think, be thoughtful about who would be the best match of those residents that need a visitor. And then we invite the volunteer to meet the older adult. And it might be that they meet them in a set, maybe the volunteer shows up and they're helping with an activity and they get to know that older adult without the knowledge of knowing, here's somebody we might match you up with. Mm-hmm. So they get to meet that person and find out if it's a good fit. And we have volunteers who say, well, at first I didn't think it was a good fit, or maybe it was a rocky start, but that's what we have volunteer supervisors for, and that's what we have support group and training for. So we match our volunteers and our older adults kind of based on similar backgrounds or maybe interests and, of course, geography.
And so, like we said earlier, it could be at a community right in your own neighborhood or close to work, so that it could be something that's really convenient.
Right. And if a volunteer comes to us and they're familiar with a community that's near their home, mm-hmm. and whether we're a partner with that community or not, we will make that call and make that connection so that they could serve someone there. If they have a special place in their heart for a certain community, we'll make those efforts to make a match.
Earlier, you mentioned that that in terms of who would be a good applicant, who would be a candidate for this, you said, you know, age is not near a big issue, and including whole families could come be volunteers. Mm-hmm. Have you had families that have signed up to volunteer as a whole family so far?
We've had husband-wife teams mm-hmm. that come to volunteer. They both go through training. That's important to know, that everybody who participates should be able to participate in the training as well, because there's something in that training for everyone, mm-hmm. Regardless of age or experience. So we would invite all the members of that family to be part of that. We also try to take in consideration that if we are matching maybe a pair of people or a husband, wife, and a child, that older adult is up for that kind of attention.
Sure.
Because sometimes too much attention or too many visitors might make them nervous. So we really have to be careful about that match.
Certainly.
We also look at if we have someone who's offering to bring their pet for pet visits, we also have to know that older adult is comfortable with that.
Sure. Absolutely. And just thinking, you know, with we have a pretty young little one, and he brings lots of smiles, but not everybody's going to be eager to see him if he gets kind of loud, probably. But
right.
But there are certainly, I'm sure, some people who would love to have an adopted grandchild or a surrogate grandchild to come visit them on a regular basis.
Yes, and the volunteer can really warm up that conversation or find out from that older adult by bringing pictures and sharing information about their children with the older adult, and then kind of seeing if they would be up for a visit.
Mm-hmm. Well, just a couple of minutes left. I'd like to talk with our volunteers more. What is your encouragement to someone who's listening today? If they're thinking, you know, this might be something I might like to do, what's your encouragement? We'll start with Jill.
I strongly encourage anybody who has just an hour during the week, and really who can't carve out 1 hour, to really give strong consideration to doing this. It's effortless. Anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. All it takes is just a commitment, and it can just bring so much happiness and joy to somebody else. And it just seems like a no-brainer to me. If you can just by your very presence make somebody's day or make somebody's week, why wouldn't you do it? It doesn't really take anything more than just being a compassionate person and just having a little bit of availability mm-hmm. to just, you know, just open up your heart to somebody. Who wouldn't want that in return?
Absolutely. Alan?
I think at the end of the day, people want to help. People want to help others. I mean, it's in our nature, but life gets in the way, and it's easy to say, I'd like to volunteer for this or that. This is such a easy, seamless, you mentioned effortless program opportunity to be involved in. Mm-hmm. And it will pay back. I mean, you'll take so much more away from this program than you invest. It's been a blessing for me and my family to be able to experience this. And I wish a whole bunch of people get the opportunity to experience the same thing that Jill and I have.
Well, Pam, let's talk about, before we wrap up our time here, let's go back and share the information that the process you'd go through if you want to become a volunteer. Make a phone call first, right?
Right. Make a phone call to Sandy, our volunteer coordinator. She's at 314-496-2526. And as I mentioned, she's in the office today anticipating that there will be a surge of folks who want to help us out. So that with that phone call, she'll walk you through the expectations and, of course, the joys of being a volunteer, and then invite you to complete a volunteer application and then invite you in to learn more about the program. As I mentioned, we have a training coming up on April 26th that we're offering for volunteers. We're hoping to, we always want to be ahead of the curve on the volunteers because we know the referrals will always come easily from our mm-hmm. community. So that first conversation with Sandy, she will orient you to the program. She'll answer your questions, your concerns, and get you rolling on an application.
And that number, I believe, at 314-446.
2526. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yep. Very good. And you can also find more information on seniorconnections.info. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Very good. Well, it has been a fun conversation, and certainly have learned a lot along the way. So go check it out, 314-446-2526 or seniorconnections.info. You can find out more about becoming a volunteer with Senior Connections. Thanks to our guests for being in studio. Alan Surface, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you so much.
Jill All, thanks for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
And Pam Gordon, Director of Volunteers at Lutheran Senior Services, thanks for being in studio as our guest today.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up in a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for that music and a little bit of conversation with Reverend Mark Hawkinson.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.